97.5 The Fanatic.
Let the party begin!
The show starts now.
Good morning, everybody. It is the John Kincaid Show. John Kincaid is on vacation. Bob Cooney, Jamie Lynch, Pat Egan in today. Just the three of us. Three guys getting it done. Three happy friends. Everybody.
Guys,
we're all good. We're just guys being dudes. Pat's in a good mood. I'm ready to go. You know what, Jamie? You know how I wake up every day and I look for the good thing?
Yeah.
And I usually have a song in my mind.
What's today's song?
Well, the good thing and the song, they came hand in hand today. And it was, it's Pat Egan's birthday. Happy birthday, Pat. The song was Happy Birthday. How are you, buddy? You doing good?
It's not my birthday.
Happy birthday.
Well, happy birthday, Pat.
It's not my birthday.
Well, yesterday was your birthday. You didn't tell anybody, so we're celebrating today. Happy birthday, Pat Egan. How's it going? Good? You having a good day so far?
You're a day late.
Okay. Happy birthday. How are you?
Good.
I actually blame Chuck and Coach on that one. How are we supposed to know? You know, so we'll just pretend
it never came up. So
yeah, we're just pretending today's your birthday, Pat.
Let's pretend that we didn't forget yesterday.
Yeah,
I mean, you didn't forget. You didn't know.
No, we didn't.
I don't blame you guys.
It's in my phone now, so I'll never forget my best friend's birthday.
That's great.
Yeah,
take you out for some ice cream, pal.
Absolutely, burritos are on me today, and ice cream afterwards if you so choose, Pat.
I got something after the show. I can't. You always pick a day where I have something to do.
I always pick a day.
You do.
I didn't know you had something to do today, did I?
Yeah, I mentioned it after the show yesterday. You don't listen.
That's not true.
Yeah.
It's simply not true.
Yeah, I mentioned it.
We have to get Pat in a better mood today. What's the matter?
I'm in a great mood, Bobby.
Okay.
Phenomenal mood.
It seemed like you came in a good mood today.
I was. I was in a great mood for about 10 seconds until Bobby Blows It Up showed up.
Really?
You asked. I mean, you asked.
All right. That was my greeting to you this morning. Happy birthday. I was so excited.
Asked being the key word there. You asked.
Oh, man. I was just so excited, Pat. I couldn't hold it.
I don't think
in.
We need to pull the curtain back on this one much further.
Oh, no, I think we're figure good out to go. What happened.
Yeah.
No, I think we're not good really. To go.
All right. So, nice win by the Sixers last night. 121-106 over the visiting Chicago Bulls, who they just seem to own.
Yeah, they own.
Yeah, it's just ridiculous. Great, great night from Joel Embiid.
He's 11-0 versus them.
Yeah, that's crazy, isn't it? 43 points, 14 rebounds, 3 blocks. Just another.
Ho-hum.
Yeah, right? And a third quarter that was just phenomenal, where they came out, kind of blew open a game where they were, I don't want to say lackluster, but they were kind of... And got down by 8 in the first half, but then hit some threes. And I got to tell you, our boy and the guy that we said yesterday, James, got to keep an eye on, George Niang. He seems to be the focus off the bench now.
He's thriving with Harden. He really is. I think he's unconscious. And that's kind of what you hope Toby can get himself to, is just catch and shoot. High quantity, fast pace. And George he's good. He's like, that used to be Mike Scott.
He's Mike
role.
Scott way better than
Well, yeah,
Mike.
That's what yeah, I'm saying. Yeah, like, yeah, he's yeah. that role. He filled in the Mike Scott-ish role, and he's so much better. He's really nice, and I have a feeling he's the type of guy in a playoff game that's going to... He's going to be your fill-it-up guy and get you that 12 or 14 points.
He's going to have to be, because what else do you have really coming off the bench now that... Shake Milton got another 14 minutes last night, only got one shot up. Didn't play Furkan Korkmaz. Were you
Good.
Surprised?
Was he even dressed?
I think he was. You know, all the tweets going on throughout the game. I didn't look at the bench during the game, but the tweets going on throughout
the game
that I saw.
I thought I saw somebody saying that he wasn't even dressed.
Oh, I saw a couple tweets that said he hasn't gone to him.
Oh, yeah. Well, good. So, keep it that way.
Yeah, I hadn't heard anything of that. So your bench last night was basically just George Niang. Who did a nice job, but there was one guy who kind of I was happy about, and hopefully this is what you're going to get, and that was DeAndre Jordan. Hey, for all the people, oh, he's cooked, he's watched, you only need him for 10, 12, 15 minutes a night. You don't really need him to do anything but go in there and grab some rebounds and try to block some shots and maybe get an alley-oop, and Harden ran the alley-oop for him first play.
He just doesn't have the legs anymore.
He just missed it, but, you know, he intimidated a couple guys by the rim, grabbed a couple of rebounds.
He had an offensive kick out to Danny Green for a three at one point.
Yep, got an assist.
That was nice to see. Yeah, I mean, he's fine.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, it's not this huge fall off. He's saying he's washed and he's not going to be able to help this team at all. This team is so good that a washed DeAndre Jordan's going to look better than he does on other teams.
Yeah, if he's playing with James Harden and Niang Baumann and he just has to offensive board, he's not going to give you any offensive game whatsoever.
No.
So you just hope his defense is okay. And basically, if I'm Doc, I say, dude, just get me 6 or 7 rebounds a night.
Yeah.
Like, I just need you to board your butt off because this team, one of their flaws is they stink at rebounding.
Offensive rebounds again last night. It was driving me crazy. I out loud was kind of like, what the hell are you doing? And it's just effort. So many times on shots, they're just standing flat-footed.
Embiid
and watching. Embiid's not a good rebounder in traffic.
No, he's not. He's not.
He's just not. Like, he'll get you 14 rebounds. I see it. But if you look at the rebounds he gets, 10 of them are probably uncontested.
Mm-hmm.
And he just can't go up in a crowd and grab a rebound. And weak side rebounding, when a guy, you know, shooting from a wing on one side, guys are flat-footed on the other side. And it could, Pat, I don't know, it seems to me, I don't want to overstate it, but it could be a problem. Last night, Chicago got, I think, 14 points, at least 10 in the first half off offensive rebounds.
It's been a problem. Like, yeah. It's been a problem for a while. You don't notice it because they're winning pretty handedly, but, I mean, the offensive putbacks the teams are getting on the Sixers, it's just, it just doesn't seem like Embiid's, like, fighting for the rebound, which, like, it's hard to complain about a guy that goes off for 43.
Sure.
And, whatever it was, 43 and 14 and 3 blocks or whatever. But you're right. He's not really boxing out too well. I mean, but it's like nitpicking an all-time great performance.
Yeah. And it's not just him.
No, it's the whole team. They stink at it. They don't box out.
It's the identity of the team, and it's frustrating. It happened against the Knicks twice. It happened on Friday against the Cavs. I mean, it's just... It's an unsettling trend that in the playoffs and they play better teams, you figure could rear its ugly head.
Yeah, well, like if you watch the team when the other team takes another when the other team has taken an outside jump shot, usually on threes, watch how flat-footed the Sixers are. It's kind of they're shooting and they get into this stand and don't move mode. Doc has to work on them. All right, be active. You have to be active when the shot's going up. Have your feet moving. That way, you're ready to go and get after the basketball. But
yeah, I mean, I asked him about it when he was on with us last. What was that?
That's right, you did.
Two months ago?
Yeah, maybe a little less, but yeah, you did.
Yeah. So this isn't a new problem. This isn't a reaction off of last night's game. This is something they need to get better at before the end of the year. I hope they do because it should be something you can correct.
Oh no, absolutely, it should now. Just going through different things that happened last night. Tobias Harris, 37 minutes. He shoots 4 for 10, doesn't make a three. Three rebounds, 3 assists, 8 points. On the surface, people will look at that and say, oh, my God, what's going on with this guy? I understand it. I still see the hesitancy. He had a couple of wide-open shots that he didn't make, a couple of threes that were wide open that he missed. But I'll tell you what, he had a difficult assignment last night, and I thought he was really good, and that was in covering DeMar DeRozan. DeRozan scored on him, but if you watched, man, Tobias Harris was in his face as well as you can be on DeMar DeRozan.
Yeah, that was an okay game from Toby. It wasn't his worst.
Yeah.
DeMar DeRozan is, you know, what, third or fourth in MVP voting right now.
He's fifth in the league in scoring.
He's having a career year. And, he's definitely the focal point over LaVine at this point, which is kind of strange to me. But I guess he's playing so well that... So, yeah, Toby had his hands full last night. He did okay defensively.
Yeah, I thought he did well that he was in his grill all night long. And DeRozan still made shots, but he held them well below his average. I mean, DeRozan only went for 23 points, and he's averaging, well, not well below his average. I think he's averaging about 26 a game. But, 6 for 17 shooting, and that takes a lot out of you. And Doc talked about it after the game, saying it's exhausting trying to cover DeMar DeRozan. So maybe he was, I don't want to say making an excuse for Tobias Harris offensively, but maybe that was the case. Maybe that you're using so much energy defensively that it does take away from your offensive.
Yeah, I had in my mind that he cooked the Sixers. DeRozan, over the last 3 years versus the Sixers in 6 games, he's averaged almost 32 points a game, close to 8 rebounds and 4.5 assists. So if you get him at 23 after that, that's a win.
Yeah. Yeah, so the domination just continues. As you said, Jamie, 11 straight wins over the Bulls.
It's crazy.
Joel Embiid's 10-0. Is that what you said, 10-0 against them?
11-0.
11-0, okay. Matisse Thybulle, as I said before, he got you 10 points last night. It was efficient. 4-for-5 shooting. I don't know if you guys noticed early in the game how he was running out, like sprinting out a couple of times after the Sixers got a rebound, looking maybe for a long pass, and it did happen a couple of times in the first half, looking for those long passes from James Harden. That's how he has to get involved in the offense. I mean, Matisse Thybulle isn't going to help you in the half-court offense. If he gets out and runs and tries to get those long passes, get something in transition, which he got a couple of last night, that's exactly what you're going to get from him.
Yeah, that and just cutting on, if you are in the half court, he's just got to be energy. He's got to be motion. He's got to be dunking the ball. You know, you saw the one last night from Harden, kind of on like the pump fake shot where he was cutting beneath the rim and Harden found him and he got an easy dunk. That's what he has to be. Like, he doesn't have the confidence to shoot it yet. He's not going to create his own shot. He just has to play with Harden and keep moving, and Harden will find him.
Yeah. Now, James Harden last night, only 16 points. But again, just that threat. And he tied Reggie Miller for three-pointers. Yeah, all-time three-pointers, which he talked about after the game. But it was also something else he did after the game. We were talking about this a little bit. Pat, you weren't in here when we were talking about it. And I don't know if you even saw it, Pat, but after the game, they showed James Harden. It was before he did his media session, so it was pretty much immediately. And, Jamie, you pointed out that there were still fans in the stands.
Yeah.
James Harden was running the steps of the Wells Fargo Center after the game. And they showed him going up and down a couple of times. Connor was kind of like, all right, are you doing eye candy for the new city that where you've come to? I don't know, man. I saw the guy doing sprints at halftime of the game that we went to last week. Full court sprints to get himself in some kind of shape. Pat, what your take on it? Is it show? Is it real? What do you think?
Oh, man, I had no idea he did that. No, I don't think it's necessarily show.
We're the easiest city in the world to play
games. That's the thing. Like, I could totally see it being show, and I understand why people would think that, but because I've heard about this guy's work ethic nonstop since he's entered the city, no, I don't think it is. I don't think he's consciously making the decision of let me work out now and be seen as opposed to waiting 25 minutes and working out privately, because the Sixers media, I mean, they do such a good job down there with their social media game that it's going to be seen anyway.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, after his first game, he was working out with Joel Embiid for like an hour afterwards, and it was caught. And I don't think James Harden was asking photographers to come in and, you know, look at me and Joel work out. It's just like they haven't dealt with that before. They've primarily had guys that come in, they do their job, they work out when they're supposed to, and then they go home. Now they've got a different breed.
So keeping it on Harden for a minute, and even if he is doing it for show, I still like it. Yeah, I still exactly. And I don't know if I was. I don't think I was sitting with you at halftime the other night where Harden was doing, when we went to the game, James. When Harden was doing the full court sprints, he was the second guy out on the floor at halftime, and six or seven times ran the length of the floor in a full sprint. I pointed it out to whoever I was with. Like, you know, that's pretty cool. If he's doing it for show, I don't care. People are wondering about his conditioning. Maybe, you know, missing all the time he did with the hamstring, he still doesn't feel like he's 100%, but he's getting himself there. I don't care if he's showing it off or not.
Yeah, he's talked about now, I think, at least two times that he's in pretty good shape, but not his best shape.
Yeah.
So maybe it's as simple as he feels he can be in better shape, and he's ramping himself up. That's a ramp up now. I can't not associate with Ben Simmons after hearing all this Nets. Well, he's going to ramp up soon. He's ramping himself up for the playoffs. I mean, he knows what it takes. That's part of why you get a veteran like that that's been to Western Conference Finals Game 7s and has been through it. So he knows how to get his body right for the playoffs, and that's ultimately all that matters.
6 o'clock hour, it's brought to you by Bradford White Water Heaters. Bradford White is here for the pro. Now, keeping on James Harden a little bit, I don't know if you guys saw this on social media, wondering if there's some kind of a rift between he and Danny Green. Did you see this?
No.
So Danny Green went to inbound the ball last night.
Something
happened on the floor where they were walking off, and I don't want to say it was heated, but there was discussion between Harden and Green. It could have been as simple as, dude, you got to go outside instead of inside on this, whatever it may be. But they had a talk that there was, you know, some discussion. And then Chicago scored a basket one time. Green got the thing, got the ball, went to inbound it. Harden's standing right there waiting for it. And Danny Green pulls the ball back and threw it into somebody else. And Harden's like, what are you doing? So I don't know if it's a game within a game, if they're having fun, but there seems to be a little, I don't know, what, little contention there?
So he already explained it. He addressed it in his podcast because this happened last week, I think it was.
Is that right?
It was the Knicks game in New York.
Okay, well, something happened last night also.
Oh, I didn't catch that last night.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It happened last night.
So he explained that one on his podcast. This is the quote from Danny Green. He says, As I'm taking the ball out, I see James, but I see someone sneaking up behind him. And in my vision of it, I thought he was closer than he actually was from my angle. I saw Tobias, so I thought just get the ball at the floor and get the easy bucket. Harden was like, yo, why didn't you give me the ball? And I was like, I mean, I saw Toby open. I had nothing to do with the chemistry. It has nothing to do with anything.
Yeah, it doesn't. It's a
well, I didn't miss. Thing. I missed last night.
Yeah, I saw something on Twitter last night that showed it. I don't read into anything there, and I don't really care
about it. I mean, we've heard about it.
He's a horrible teammate. One of my favorite quotes that came out of last night, though, was George Niang. Another great game. I'll tell you what, guys. He has a release that I never knew he did.
Quick.
I remember him being a three-point shooter, but God, he can get rid of the ball quickly.
This is his numbers from three over his career are really, really good. This is the highest per game he's taken in his career. He's attempting right now five per game, and he's shooting 40%. He's 40% for his career. Now, his first 2 years in the league, he didn't really play much, but ever since then, he's 41%, 40%, 42%, and 40%.
Wow.
That's a really good three-point shooter.
So he gets done the game last night, and they asked him about playing with Harden. He says, it's like a dream come true.
Oh.
You saw how many wide-open shots he had last night.
Oh, so, yeah.
And he's going to continue to have.
And he just is shooting. He's not thinking.
No, and he doesn't leave his feet. It's just a catch. It's a set shot. It's a catch and shoot, and he's got that quick release.
He's averaging 9.5 points a game.
It's going to go up, too. They're relying on him heavily, like we talked about yesterday.
If him and Thibault can get to 10 a game, that's a really good situation.
Absolutely. No question about it.
On your betting apps, just definitely hit up George Niang's over, because I don't think Vegas has figured that out yet.
I'll tell you what. Vegas had a hard time figuring out Tyrese Maxey over-unders for score. I know, right? Parx Casino, the new Parx experience is almost here. One amazing app with Sportsbook and Casino, an improved user experience, a sleek new design, plus PayPal functionality. Must be 21, gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Now, another thing that came out of last night was, and I know you guys noticed this, the Sixers' defense early on. Now, they've struggled with giving up points in the first quarter this year. They've given up a lot. They've fallen behind by a lot. That trend seemed to be going last night where Chicago's getting up at the 30 range. The Sixers get down by 8. And then Doc Rivers started doing some different things. He started playing a little bit of zone. He started jumping the ball out of zones on high pick and rolls. Did you guys notice how much different defenses Doc kind of went to last night?
Yeah. I wonder if that's something Doc concedes because Dan Burke's the defensive coach, right?
Right.
I wonder if that's something he concedes to him, or I wonder if it's something he dabbles with himself. I don't know, but yeah, it was interesting to see. Maybe they're getting ready for different scenarios in the playoffs and kind of working some things in game a little bit too.
Well, yeah.
It's not a bad time to try it when you start slow.
No, I mean, they gave up 32 points in the first quarter. After that, they did a great defensive job, 21, 24, 29 over the next three quarters, each quarter there. But I did think it was interesting. They went zone. They, on the high pick and rolls, they jumped it a lot, and I thought it worked effectively. One time, Danny Green tied up DeMar DeRozan, forcing a jump ball. I thought it was...
They doubled him at the half court more line.
Yeah, I thought it was cool that they were just trying... And one of the things I was wondering, James, they had a lackluster defensive beginning. Are you trying to get the guys' feet moving by saying, all right, let's do this, let's do that, and letting them know, all right, you got to play defense tonight? He does all that stuff early, and then they play better defense later, and it's not because they're playing zone and double-teaming or whatever. It's just that it seems like he got their feet moving.
He kicked their ass in gear.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah, it could be as simple as that. You know, coming back from Miami, you know, they probably the first time they got their legs moving since a back-to-back on Saturday. It's probably just a slow uptick. This is now kind of a trend with them where they're starting slow and then figuring it out and kind of running away with it. And, you know, they've done it now versus Cleveland. They were down, what, 21 at one point?
In their last four games, they were down 16 versus the Knicks and won by 15. They were down 21 to Cleveland and won by 6. Down 20 at Miami before calling close, before losing by 17. Last night, the deficit only got to 8. And that's when it got to 8, that's when it seemed like Doc Rivers, whoever decided to do it, they started going to that jump the high pick and roll. And it worked out well for them.
Yeah, I mean, they need another perimeter defender next year. But, you know, hopefully their offense is good enough now that it can carry them through the playoffs and you can kind of mask it a little bit. But, yeah, defense and rebounding probably needs to improve this offseason.
Yeah.
If you had to nitpick, that's what it is.
I hear you. Whole Foods Market. At Whole Foods Market, get $2 off per pound of sustainable wild-caught fresh Atlantic cod fillets through March 8th while supplies last. Plus, Prime members save an extra 10%. Restrictions apply. The offense, check this out. With James Harden in the lineup this year, in the five games, James, what do you think they're averaging?
Five games, him in the lineup,
yeah.
Points per game?
Yeah.
124?
125 and a half.
All right.
Who's beating you?
Yeah.
I mean, if he gets this offense or the defense moving a little bit like he did last night, great job by Doc Rivers and company. Who's beating you when you're... Last night, James Harden had 16 points.
Yeah.
I mean, Joel went off, and that's this year a typical Joel game. You're still scoring 125 points a game.
Yeah.
And 6 3-pointers in the first quarter.
If Niang and Thibault can each hover around 10 points per game, the East is in trouble.
They become a much better three-point shooter with him.
He's
like much better. And it's because
he's playing better than Toby right now.
It's just his ability to find ball movement, you know, and find the open guy. Like, Niang's hitting threes at a rapid rate. Maxey's three-point shooting is incredible all of a sudden. You know, like, ever since James Harden showed up, they've become a pretty decent three-point shooting team.
His playmaking ability is unbelievable. With the ease that he finds open guys, makes passes, hits guys. I mean, he throws behind the back passes without effort, and they're right on the button.
Yeah.
You know, in traffic.
Yeah, he's pretty ridiculous.
Yeah, so everybody is benefiting from James Harden. Jamie also, as we talk about improving this Sixers team, Jamie has an idea maybe for something for next year when we come up next segment, so we'll talk about that. This is the John Kincaid Show. Bob Cooney, Jamie Lynch, Pat Egan today as John Kincaid spends his time down in Florida. And I got to tell you right now, it's conference championship week in college basketball. And FanDuel Sportsbook, in partnership with Valley Forge, has an offer you don't want to miss. New customers place their first college basketball bet risk-free. And if you don't win, you'll get up to $1,000 back. Bet college basketball any way you like. You can look at the locals going into the tournament. That's what I love to do. I love looking at the big tournaments, too. The Big East tournament's coming up. The AAC. Pat, we're going to have a lot of fun looking at that. Local teams, get behind them. Bet them if you like. Take a good look at who they're playing and what you might want to do, because that's what I like to do. Take a chance at same game parlay bet. Jump into the action with live betting or bet with big promotions like odds boosts. The app is so easy to use. They're always hooking you up with great odds. See for yourself why FanDuel is America's number one sportsbook. Download the FanDuel Sportsbook app today and sign up with promo code Bob to get your first bet risk-free up to $1,000. That's promo code Bob. 21 plus and present in Pennsylvania. First online real money wager only. Refund issued as non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 14 days. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
It is the John Kincaid Show. Minus John Kincaid, as John is down in Orlando, Kissimmee, Florida, whatever you want to call it. and he keeps beating vacation. These other guys off.
That's right.
Yeah. What's the matter with you today? And he keeps beating these other guys off.
Uh-huh.
What's that for him today?
That
was Furcon. That was talking about Furcon.
About 10 minutes ago?
This is why Bob Cooney has the job that he does. You know, he used to cover the team.
Hard-hitting questions.
He's got some inside sources. So if you were wondering why Furcon Korkmaz continues to get run with the team.
And he keeps beating these other guys off.
Now we know. Okay. Now we get to the
I
real
see what goes on the behind story. The scenes, and a guy turns his back for a second.
Turns his back. You said it.
You didn't turn your back.
Good point.
You turned into a microphone and you spoke into it.
Happy birthday, Pat Egan.
Well, let me ask you an honest question. If somebody actually said that, you expected us not to pull that?
Oh no, you could pull it. Yeah, it's good that you guys pulled it. I'm proud of you.
Apparently, Furcon pulls it.
Yeah. And he keeps beating these other guys off.
I don't overdo it, though. I mean, it's new. It's a new toy. You got to play with it.
8 a.m. hour sponsored by Martin Law, the law firm for injured workers. Visit paworkinjury.com. Glad you guys are having fun at my expense.
When Furcon doesn't have the lotion, they got to call.
Well, he's
injured workers.
Look, they keep bringing guys in, and he keeps beating them off. So I don't know what to tell you. And that's why the guy's earning some playoff.
That's why the new free agents love it here so much.
Maria in Collingswood wants to talk about Tyrese Maxey. Hi, Maria.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
We're doing great. How you doing?
I'm doing well.
Why aren't you working today?
Oh, well, that's a whole story I got to tell you about, Bobby.
Okay. So what do you got going on? Tyrese Maxey, your favorite player, Maria?
Tyrese Maxey, he's a man. How about it?
You like him?
I love him. I think, you know, we got to talk about women watching basketball.
Okay. What do you see? What did you see from the Sixers last night against Chicago, Maria?
I see a happy kid out there playing some basketball. Smiling, energy, just makes me want to watch the game.
But, Maria, the real reason you called today...
Yeah,
and I know this because you texted me about 20 minutes ago, is because you wanted to wish Pat a happy birthday, didn't you?
Happy birthday, Pat.
It's not my birthday, Maria, but thank you.
Pat, he's a little shy, Maria, especially around pretty women. So,
Well,
thanks, Maria.
That's how he gets.
You enjoy your birthdays, you know?
I did enjoy it when it happened. But
So, Maria, Tyrese Maxey, your favorite player on the Sixers?
Yeah, I'm digging him, you know. Been around basketball a long time, married to a guy that plays basketball. I don't have a choice sometimes.
You were friends with me in high school when I played basketball?
Best friends with this guy.
That's right.
You're the man, Bob.
No, you are. You're the best. Maria, thanks for calling. We really appreciate it. Sorry, guys. Had to get a friend on here every once in a while.
She's not alone. People love Tyrese.
No problem, John.
I'll tell you what. I swear to God, I want to come in there and punch you in the face. And I said, I swear to God again. Our program director, brought it up to me. So, all right, look, we have these jobs and we know that we say things maybe over and over again, but we don't realize it.
Yeah.
And we don't realize it. But I try. So Chuck brought it up to me yesterday that I say, I swear to God, at least once a show or maybe more than once a show.
You do.
And it's stuck
with me. Once a segment.
Yeah, whatever. So. So it stuck in my head yesterday. All right, you got to stop saying it. That's why in the first segment, you didn't catch me. I said it, and I looked at you, and I banged the table, and you looked at me, and I'm like, what's the matter?
Connor told me, I didn't even realize I'd do it, that I had a one-week period where I was said yada, yada, yada multiple times.
Yeah.
I didn't even know I was doing it.
Pat's probably the best. Oh, no. But what was the word you had that Connor said you used?
Albatross.
Albatross and cavalcade of suck is one of your go-tos.
Yeah, cavalcade of suck. Cornucopia of suck.
Yeah.
Cavalcade of suck.
Yeah. It's all good.
We all have our thing. That's fine.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with it at all.
I guess holy hell's my main one, but I didn't even know I did a yada, yada, yada.
What do you think John's is?
There you go.
Oh, there you go.
There you go, and oh, my gosh.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, you got to really...
Oh my gosh, he really gets into the gosh.
But best is when when the gosh hits like level 10 of oh my gosh, like that's the best. But those are his
usually
two
when he's talking about JT Realmuto or Aaron Nola.
Oh my gosh, yeah, you're right. It's baseball when it's gets
baseball
out.
Related when it comes out the most. Yeah,
but we all have our crutch.
By the way, baseball today, another fake deadline another week of games is getting the axe.
How about that, huh?
This is so stupid.
Wait. So now it's like, well,
Okay, so really, we
now it's going to be the real deadline.
Yeah, like we could fit 162 in.
It's
but
5 o'clock today, though.
No, guys,
I'm serious this time.
This is like when I like, and you know, and Bob, you know, because you had it, and all parents know. But when you tell your kid when you're heading to, and we had this happen this weekend, so that's why I'm bringing it up. But when you're heading to a birthday party and your kid's misbehaving, and you say, "I'll turn the car around.
I'll end your precious little field trip.
I'll turn this. You will not go to the birthday party if you continue to behave. You know full well you're going to that damn birthday party.
Of course you do. You just got to sell it.
Yeah, you got to sell it. And that's what baseball's doing right now. They're trying to sell it. And they're doing a horrible job.
No, you're exactly right. It's so, I can't even read about stuff. When I get notifications, you know, Heyman or whatever, and it pops up, I'm not even looking anymore.
This is, I think, baseball's biggest problem is nobody cares. Like, outside of our job where we touch on it for a couple minutes here and there just because it's topical news worthy, outside of that, I know some really good baseball fans.
Yeah.
I had a bunch of my buddies over the house with their kids on Saturday. Nobody mentioned it. It hasn't been brought up once to me outside of this job. And if you're Rob Manfred and the owners, that should worry you to your core.
Somebody asked me on Twitter yesterday about, all right, well, with the new shift alignments, you know, would this work out? And I'm like, dude, I'm sorry. I have no idea. Because at this point, when I see news from Heyman or from Passan or from Stark or any of like the big baseball scrap, Rosenthal, I basically just skim it and check out. I'm out.
I got to tell you, this whole shift thing, betterment of the game, I'm sorry. Isn't sports about making adjustments in order to put your team in the best position to win? I can't tell a manager. I think that's crap. If teams want to play a shift, so be it. Hitters, learn how to hit away from the shift.
Yeah, it's a weird thing.
You can't tell somebody where to place your players.
And then how do you enforce it? Like, you have, you know, lines that you, if somebody steps over the line, like, you,
look, how many times do you see a shortstop when the pitch is made?
Start moving.
Start moving to think where,
like, is that illegal?
No, you can't do that. Stand still, timeout.
So what are you going to do? Like, stop the pitcher in his warm up if a guy is over the line of shift?
I can't even stand that they're thinking of doing that.
Yeah.
Like, sorry. Somebody puts a shift on me. I'm a right-handed hitter, and they put everybody on the left side of the infield.
Just check.
Okay. How about you open your stance and learn how to go to the right side of the infield? Like, I know hitting a baseball is the hardest thing to do in sports, but my God, come on.
I know, and I personally don't like the shift because, I don't know, I just, when somebody ropes one into shallow right center that should have been a gap double 10 years ago and now it's an out, it's like, all right, this, it does kind of feel cheap, but it's up to you to figure it out.
I agree. You know, the essence of sports is to find an advantage over your opponent. And if the advantage is this guy hits to the left side of the infield every time, yeah, I'm going to put more players over there to make you stop. I don't think you can tell a team how, all right, you're not allowed to scheme this way. Are you kidding me? I just can't stand
that. Yeah, baseball's a mess.
Guys, I don't know if you noticed, but the hotline just rang. Okay, so you didn't notice.
I saw it. Yeah,
the hotline rang.
I just figured it was Coach.
It was Coach.
Yeah.
Did he get his nuts off?
He's coming. Well, no, I don't know if he ran in a Furkan Korkmaz or not, but...
And he keeps beating these other guys
Jamie
off.
From his...
But Coach is in an Uber. Tim is his driver.
What do you say, Tim?
What's up, Tim?
Tim listens, by the way.
Hey, Tim, good job.
Hey, Tim, thank you for listening.
Tim, drop him off at, like, two ballot plots.
Okay, yeah. So it's funny to say that because that's exactly what I said. Coach goes, you know, I'm coming in. I'm in my Uber. Tim's my driver. He listens all the time. And I said, thank Tim for listening. Tell him to turn around and drive you back home, please. but I would also, if I was Tim, I would be concerned because having that guy in the back seat of my car, no shot. I would not trust Coach Camille in my car whatsoever. I don't know what that dude's capable of. He's calling from block numbers. He likes wieners.
Love the big wiener.
I wouldn't trust him in my car. I'd have to have him sitting passenger side so I would know exactly, like I can keep my eyes on him.
Yeah, he was down on McDade Boulevard last night tugging on his lug nuts. This guy's unpredictable.
This dude lives in Jersey. He's at McDade Boulevard.
Mm.
Why?
Yeah.
You know, like questions need to be asked.
There are some questions to be had, and I have a load of text messages that don't make any sense from Coach last
night. On a Monday, he's tugging on nuts?
Yeah.
On McDade Boulevard?
Did you ever know of a Geico guy or whatever guy, whatever your service is, that couldn't come out and get lug nuts off of a tire?
No.
I mean, that's what they're made for. They have equipment for that. And even if it's locked,
shady.
There's a way to get it done.
Nothing adds
up. I'm thinking Coach didn't have a spare tire. That's what my thing is. That's my philosophy. Yeah, something weird's going on.
Coach is
going
to get it talking to by the bosses, because I'm telling you, if I showed up for work 2.5 hours late, you don't think I'd get it talking to?
You would.
You guys as well, right?
You would.
We were here.
Yeah.
Coach is doing God knows what on McDade Boulevard.
I don't know.
And now we're paying the price for it.
I hear you.
And not only us, Tim's paying the price for it.
Yeah, Coach was twerking.
Thoughts and prayers for Tim.
Coach's lug nut problems are brought to you by the Pennsylvania Turnpike. In an emergency on the PA Turnpike, dial *11 and stay inside your vehicle. The PA Turnpike, safety patrol sponsored by GEICO, will be there to help. See vehicle, Pat. It's the Bat Vehicle. He still doesn't like when we bring that up. But it's Pat's birthday, so we're not here to make fun of Pat today. It's all about love for Pat.
I'm sorry. I got another phone call from Coach.
Oh, my God, Coach. Leave us alone.
This is on me. Okay? Coach told me the name was Tim. Coach doesn't even know his Uber driver's nickname. His name is Nick.
Hey, Nick. What's happening,
now,
buddy?
Thanks for listening,
Nick.
I am sure that there is an Uber driver out there somewhere named Tim that listens to our show.
We already did him.
Okay? But Nick...
Thank you for listening, Tim and Nick.
I do appreciate you listening, and I really apologize, and you will think twice about picking up Coach Camille next time he comes.
Smell the odors coming out of the backseat. Don't worry. It is, in fact, Coach.
Wow. Well, those wieners will do it to you.
Yeah.
If you're a Nick or you're a Tim out there and you're listening, just know we love you. We appreciate you.
Whoever you are, just let it go. Hey, you got to join us for the John Kincaid Show live broadcast on St. Patrick's Day morning, live at the Irish Horn. That's at 882 2nd Street Pike in Richboro, PA, presented by our great friends at Bud Light. The first 100 Fanatic listeners that join us will get a free Fanatic 4-for-4 Leaf Clover t-shirt. And St. Patrick's Day is the first day of the NCAA March Madness tournament. So stick around all day long and catch some of the action, because that's what we're going to do, right, Jane? We'll hang out. We'll have a little bit of lunch, maybe a couple of beers. It's all sponsored by Bud Light. Perfect for anywhere there's fun, because where there's fun, there's Bud Light. Get all the details at 975thefanatic.com. All right, Jamie. Zach Berman, our friend, he went down out to Indy, and he had some takeaways that Jamie wants to talk about in the linchpin.
This is the linchpin.
Yeah, Zach does a great job for The Athletic covering the team. He was out in Indy for the combine this past weekend. He's probably home now with his family. He had a couple takeaways from his piece yesterday on The Athletic that I thought were worthy of bringing up and discussing, because, you know, that's 4 or 5 days of networking and resourcing out there. The things he left Indy with, I think, are very spot on in terms of the offseason. The first takeaway he had, that some within the Eagles organization are still, quote-unquote, enamored with Jalen Hurts. He went on to say,
that seems a little bold, doesn't it?
They're obsessed with his leadership and intangibles. And they said, you know, basically what Zach wrote was, while some might debate what his ceiling in this league is, everyone in the Eagles thinks he'll get to that ceiling. Now, that ceiling might never be a top 10 guy.
Right.
But they think he's going to reach whatever potential he's capable of. That's the feeling after a year of watching him work and lead in the building that a lot, you know, we're talking about in Indy this past week. That jumped out to me.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if intangibles are that important that they're saying, they're going to wait to see if he can evolve into something.
Yeah.
Maybe more patiently than
a
lot of people want.
Be the perfect kind of year to do it if you, you know, kick a draft pick to next year as the quarterback insurance plan. So that jumped out to me.
Yeah.
Zach also went on to say he feels it's pretty much a lock, and I agree with him 100%, that the Eagles are going to spend one, if not maybe two, of their picks on the defensive line. They know they need kind of an influx of youth there a little bit with Brandon Graham getting up there. Derek Barnett is obviously leaving. And he even went on to mention D-tackles because of Fletcher Cox getting up there in age and Javon Hargrave's contract. You know, you kind of want that next guy getting in the system. So he said, you know, D-end is a lock. And he wouldn't be shocked at two defensive linemen.
Well, 29 sacks tells you all you need to know, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm fine. I would be a little surprised, maybe a tinge of, too much. But if they went two D linemen in the first round, I'd probably be more than okay.
I think one of David Ojabo and Jermaine Johnson are locks to be here.
Okay.
I think one of those two guys is going to be a Philadelphia Eagle. Number three that Zach took away from his time in Indy, that the Quez Watkins hype train within the organization is real. They really liked what they saw from Quez this year. Look, he had 615 yards, only playing, I think, like 60% of the snaps with a quarterback that didn't, you know, throw for 5,000 yards or anything like that. So he did show a lot of potential. He showed an ability to, you know, not only be a slot guy, but kind of be that X receiver a little bit on some of the deep balls. Apparently, they're really impressed with Quez Watkins after last year.
I'm impressed with Quez Watkins if he's a number three.
Yes, I want to upgrade. I wanted the veteran number two.
I think you have a slot.
Yeah, he'd be a great slot guy if you get the, you know, X route guy veteran.
Yeah, if you get Devontae Smith,
I think that's
and
a
then
really
another
good core.
Really good wide receiver starter. And then you have Quez Watkins as the number three guy. Yeah, I'm fine with that.
Yeah. Zach's next observation, and I encourage everybody to read his piece, too. I don't want to completely bogart his piece and just read it to you.
Sure.
But safety is a huge priority for the team. Now, the two big names out there are Jesse Bates from Cincy. He's probably going to get franchise tagged today.
Yeah, I think I saw, like,
I saw that, too.
Yeah, and Marcus Williams is from the Saints. They're kind of in cap hell a little bit. They'll figure it out to a degree. Those are the big money guys. But Zach goes on to name two names that are going to have interest within the Eagles, and that's Houston Texans safety Justin Reed, who I believe is 26 years old, and Tampa Bay's Jordan Whitehead were mentioned as possibilities for the safety position here. I'd be cool with that.
Yeah.
I mean, I think they need to address it for sure.
Absolutely.
And then his final observation was he doesn't buy that they're not going to draft a linebacker in the first one just because of organizational philosophy. He thinks with Jonathan Gannon's style and philosophy, that's out the window. So that means a Devin Lloyd or a N'Kobe Dean could very much be in play in the first round there. He also said Jonathan Gannon has changed the way they evaluate linebackers within the organization.
In what way?
Well, he expects a lot from his linebackers.
Okay, so they're looking at linebackers harder than they have
in the past. I think he weighs them more than they have in the past.
Right.
And look, he might not be here for the long term, but you watch the NFL any given Sunday, and linebackers make a difference. They just do.
Yeah, they're out there making plays.
They're on every.
Haven't had a playmaking linebacker, and I don't know how long.
So if they were able to draft one of those guys and get a Devondre Campbell and then run that out there with Davion Taylor and TJ Edwards, all of a sudden you go, oh, wow, they got some players there.
Yeah.
So I thought they were interesting takeaways from his weekend in Indy. Gave you a little bit of look into, look, the new calendar year starts, I think, in 8 days. So the NFL offseason period is close, and it's always an exciting as hell week.
Yeah. Of those takes that Zach gave that Jamie just pointed out to us, Pat, is the Jalen Hurts one the most shocking to you?
It's the most unsettling one. Shocking?
Enamored was the word.
The shocking, honestly, was the defensive end one. Because I feel like they were going to space out those first-round picks if they take all three. I didn't expect them to take, which, I mean, we don't know what they're going to do.
I think DN's a lock.
I think DN is a lock. I think two DNs, that's what surprised me.
Well, he said two defensive linemen. So they could go DN and D-tackle.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I don't think they're going to go D-tackle.
Yeah.
I mean, I would expect two defensive ends in the first three rounds. Two defensive ends in the first round, I would be surprised. I wouldn't have a problem with it because it's an area of great need. We talked about this earlier when we brought up, like, what's the biggest need? You both said defensive end. It was the first thing you said. So I don't think anyone would have a problem with it. It's just this team does have a lot of needs.
Well, here's the interesting thing. So they bring up that they might take two defensive line guys. And then they also talk about how great the offense is. Quez Watkins, Jalen Hurts.
So I basically don't think they're saying our offense is okay. That's why we're saying we need defense.
I kind of
agree with them. I mean, I'd like to upgrade the wide receiver two position, but outside of that, you're fine.
Yeah.
Right? That's the only position. Unless you're going to get, you know, a veteran marquee quarterback. Wide receiver two is the only position, I think,
no, I agree
really
with
needs
you,
addressing. So, I mean, that makes sense. It stacks up. And Zach's draft report from Indy is brought to you by my people at Lawn and Golf Supply Company.
My people.
I can't wait for the grass to start growing so I can get out there. I still have some leaves that I lazily didn't rake up, so I'm thinking maybe I'll hit those this week and just grind them up. But check out Lawn and Golf Supply Company, the area's leader for outdoor power equipment, sales, and service for the highest quality products and services, plus dealer exclusive. Check out lawn-golf.com, Lawn and Golf Supply Company, everything turf. And Skylar's obsessed with the mower. She now wants to ride it constantly.
Well, you probably will have her right there next to you as you're, you know,
jumps in the garage now
cutting
and sits
the back 40 of your mansion.
Yeah, she sits on the mower and goes, "How do I turn this on, Dada?" And I'm like, "No, you'll never turn that on without me ever.
You better watch it. Keep the key away from her.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to start hanging it up on the tool shed board,
nice and high, so she can't reach it. Yeah, good move by you. See all the things you have to do as a parent. We thank you for joining us on the John Kincaid Show. It is Pat Egan's birthday.
Woo!
So
birthday,
it makes
Pat!
Us excited. Every day is a good day, but today's even more special because it is Pat Egan's birthday. Yesterday. When we get back, Kenny, Mike, and Bob, we're going to get to you guys. We're going to get to more Sixers talk about, darn it, about what they, I just missed blocking a Jamie shot, about what they did last night against Chicago. We'll also get into some more Eagles talk, whatever it is you want to do. But right now, I want to talk to you about FanDuel Sportsbook, because it's conference championship week in college basketball, and FanDuel Sportsbook, in partnership with Valley Forge, has an offer you don't want to miss. New customers place their first college basketball bet risk-free, and if you don't win, you'll get up to $1,000 back. Bet college basketball any way you like. I love sitting down during this week. I love getting home from work early, and you have games on at like 12, 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Those are the games I love to bet. Find your favorite college player. Find your favorite college team. There's a couple of locals that'll be going on, and put some money down on them. It makes it more fun to watch. Take a chance at a same-game parlay bet. Jump into the action with live betting or bet with big promotion like Odd Boosts. The app is so easy to use. They're always hooking you up with great odds. See for yourself why FanDuel is America's number one sportsbook. Download the FanDuel Sportsbook app today and sign up with promo code Bob to get your first bet risk-free up to $1,000. That's promo code Bob. 21 plus and present in Pennsylvania. First online real money wager only. Refund issued as non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 14 days. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.